Well, I love a good story. Many of us enjoy stories. Many of us, when we were children, or children now, loved good stories. Maybe we had stories read to us when we were children. So for some, it may have been Enid Blyton. Anyone listen to Enid Blyton? Hands up, yeah. Secret Seven, Famous Five. And then for some, it was Tolkien and The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Hands up for that. Again, another popular one. All kinds of books that we enjoy being read to us. This year, apparently, correct me if I'm wrong later, children, but the most popular books this year is The Ice Monster. Anyone read The Ice Monster? Yeah, some of you have read The Ice Monster. Another book that people have read this year, Becoming by Michelle Obama. Children? No. Any adults read it? Okay, loud and proud. Also another one is Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. The book describes as the following: an astonishing story that powerfully depicts the loneliness of life and the simple power of a little kindness. And that's gripped people this year, that book in particular. But there is something about a story whereby we enter the story. And so this very stage this morning, where for maybe over 100 times over the course of years, small children, maybe some of you, out hands up, how many of you performed in the nativity in this church before? Yeah, come on, let's see the hands. You don't look old enough. Anyway, so, you know, lots of memories have happened on this stage. And the nativity is amazing. And some of you may have played Mary or Joseph. And some of you were gutted that you didn't quite make the grade. That, you know, you had to be someone else. Maybe you had to be a lamb or a sheep. It reminds me of the story of the boy who auditioned to be Joseph, and unfortunately he got the part of the innkeeper. And when it came to the nativity itself, when it came to Mary and Joseph seeing if there was room at the inn, Joseph asked the innkeeper if there's any room at the inn, and the innkeeper said, "There's room for her, but there's no room for you, because I wanted to be you." You know, this is what happens. This is what happens when we see in the nativity ourselves. You know, the angel Gabriel, who knew Tom was going to play Gabriel? That's something that he can tick off his bucket list now as he looks back on this day. So the nativity is really important for many of us as we look back in our childhood. And the story that Lily and Alice read to us is a remarkable, true story. Okay, for many people, it becomes almost like a Disney kind of thing. But actually, it's a true story. It's a remarkable story. So look down with me. You can see the main characters in the story this morning. So in verse 1, that sentence 1, you see Caesar Augustus. Sentence 2, you've got Quirinius. Sentence 4, verse 4, you've got Joseph. Verse 5, you've got Mary. You've got Jesus appearing pretty early on in this story. You've got the shepherds in verse 8. You've got the angel in verse 9. And then you've got the heavenly host in verse 13. And every good story needs a good plot line. The census was where it was the reason, in some ways, how this story started. People were returning to their hometown. Joseph and his wife-to-be Mary was heavily pregnant. And they travel back to Bethlehem. And then in the story that we had read to us, there's a change of scene. As the story moves on into the fields in Bethlehem, to the hillside, and the shepherds are visited by angels, and we read that the glory shone all around. And these shepherds, who were pretty hardy men, they were described as terrified. I'm not sure, like you said, how terrifying Tom was this morning as he played the angel. But when the angel appeared, the shepherds were terrified. And they declared that they had good news of great joy, because a Savior was being born, the Messiah, the Lord. Wow. What a message to have to deliver. The Savior is being born. And then we get the choral concert, like none other, as we have an insight of a great company of angels who are singing. They're not singing a lullaby to soothe people. They are singing praise. They are singing powerful words that in themselves would have made the shepherds shake. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And then the story continues as the shepherds move from the hillside down into the town, and the angels move excited, confused. Sorry, the shepherds are excited and they're confused, but they have utter faith to believe what was told them. They have utter faith that the Messiah was born, the Lord. And then verse 17, we get these words. They were there to spread the word concerning what had been told about the child. And so this great message that the shepherds had been told was then spread around in that community. The shepherds were amazed, and they shared around what they had seen, what they had looked out for themselves. And then verse 20, we get these words. The shepherds were glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And, when you prepare these talks, your mind goes off on different directions. And I'm kind of thinking, what would the song the shepherds would be singing at this point? Maybe it'd be something like Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Oh, what a night. Late December, back in North BC. I don't know. But anyway, you can imagine it, can you? Their life would never be the same again. Anyway, it was quite a start. Quite a start in the story. And then we have mentioned later on the wise men. And then Herod, who slaughters the baby boys under two. And then we get the escape to Egypt. And that's all in the first few years of Jesus' life. So this was Jesus' story. This was his story, his birth. And as we look on the birth, we also make reference to his life. Really important part that you need to get this. Jesus, as he grew up, as he went about his work, as he went about meeting people and seeing the world that he was in, he looked out for people that the world would have no time for. He showed love greater than any man or woman that's ever lived. He showed compassion like no other. He looked for those in the margins of society that even if you were paid to see, you wouldn't go and see. He stood up to those in authority, where the powerful become more powerful and those who are weak seem to become more weak. Jesus would be on his knees at one moment, at the next instance, he'd be there, facing, challenging, questioning those in authority. The Romans, the religious leaders, whoever it was, Jesus was there. And yet, through it all, through seeing the injustices, through seeing what was going on, through standing up against those in authority, we're told that he was without sin, that he lived a perfect life, and he literally practiced what he preached. Now, it's very easy to preach in one level. It's another thing to practice it. Ask my family. But this is what Jesus was. He talked about God's love. He talked about loving his neighbors. That was Jesus through and through. And yet, what a waste, you'd say. 33 years. That's no age, is it, for someone to die? And then his death was even looked on more than his birth. We have a few verses, we have a few chapters about his birth. But a third of many of the Gospels that write about the life of Jesus actually speaks more about his death. I don't know if you knew this, but his death was described and made reference to from the wise men as one of those gifts that was given of myrrh, the fragrance that was associated with death and decay, was given at Jesus's birth. And Jesus' story was all about, yes, birth, life, and death. But there was one key component that many people don't make reference to at Christmas, and it was about his resurrection. His resurrection, whereby after 3 days, after he died on the cross, 3 days, he defeated that no one else has been able to defeat, of death itself. So this was his story. This was the story of the Lord Jesus. What about your story? Well, this morning, you're here. You've been born. You know you've been born, don't you? You were there. You were there at your birth. And it was painful. It was so painful for your parents as the father looked on. It's a tough job looking on. It's a tough job looking on as you sit there helpless. And then your wife says kind words to you, like, go away. Or other words. And we all had our place of birth. Jesus had his place of birth at Bethlehem. For you, it may have been Kingston, Epsom, Birmingham, or Brighton. And you all had visitors. You all had visitors. Maybe it was your Uncle Arthur. Certainly couldn't describe him as a wise man. But we had visitors. And there were many joyful celebrations. Maybe that song that you heard in the distance wasn't from the angels, but maybe it was congratulations and celebrations. I'm going to tell the world I'm happy as can be. It's a very happy time. And maybe your mother was like Mary, whereby we hear the words of Mary and the description of Mary in verse 19, whereby she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. So you had a birth, you've got a life, you're still breathing. Yeah, you're still alive. And you live your life. And I'm not going to ask you if you're over 33 this morning. But we are living life. There are many things that we could be proud of about our life. Maybe you think you deserve a book. Maybe you think someone else should write a book about you. But I wonder how much of that book would be edited. Wonder how much of that book of your life would be edited. Those parts that you're not so proud of. The times, yes, when you did those wonderful things for people in the community, for those things that you did for those that no one else loves. But at the same time, those times when you withdrew, when you could have stepped in. For those times when there were things going in your head that if we were to describe what was going on in your head, you would be quite ashamed. So there's much about your life that can be celebrated, but there's much about your life that maybe you and me would not like others to see. So we're not perfect. And, you know, you may live until you're 33. You may live until you're 66. You may live until you're 99. Who knows? But then what? Well, in the same way that Jesus was born and Jesus lived and we live and we die, the Bible also says that we will be brought back to life again one day. The dead will be raised, it says. John chapter 5, listen to these words. Don't turn to it, just listen. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me, Jesus said. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. So Jesus' life and death was ultimately leading to his resurrection. And Jesus came to the world. We sing it, it's great, isn't it? Singing these great carols about Jesus being the Savior of the world. But one day, you will rise. You will meet Jesus for yourself. It won't be just based on something you've read in the Bible. Your story and his story will come together on that resurrection day as you meet Jesus for yourself. Okay? You won't be singing Little Donkey and Away in a Manger. You'll be singing praises to God and to Jesus himself. But he won't be a savior at this point. He will be judge. And the key thing this morning that we all need to hear is whilst we are in the life stage, we have that opportunity to respond to Jesus as Savior. Because when we go from the life stage to death stage, it's too late to call on Jesus as Savior. So get it right now. Get it right between you and the Lord. That one day he will be the judge. So be right with him now and let him be your Savior. So at this Christmas time, take Jesus as your personal Savior. Take him now. Now is the time. Carpe diem, as they say. Seize the day. Make the most of this opportunity. This might be your only opportunity as a 33-year-old, a 66-year-old, or a 99-year-old. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises of Christmas, that Jesus is Emmanuel, that Jesus is God with us. Father God, we thank you that Jesus came into the world as the Savior. But Father God, at this Christmas time, may we be reminded as well that we have to respond to this good news. We have to make a choice for ourselves before it's too late. So Father God, I pray now that we would make Jesus our Savior before he comes back to be our judge. In your name, amen.